Hi everyone, I'm Stephanie, a mom to a Mito fighter. On our podcast, Energy in Action, we talk all things Mito, and I'm glad you're here to learn and to be part of our community. Welcome back to this week's episode of Energy in Action. I'm your host, Stephanie, and thank you for joining us. Here on Energy in Action, we talk all things Mito, and we talk to people who are in the know about Mito. And I am so excited to have this conversation today. I am speaking with Mito Action's very own Jeannie Freeman. And Mito Action is in full-on Christmas spirit here. Jeannie and I are going to be discussing the wildly popular Mito Santas program. And Jeannie is one of the elves who's been behind the program. And she is here to tell everyone how they can participate, either by having their child be a recipient, or if you want to become an elf like Jeannie, learn how to do that. So stay tuned, everyone. This is a great episode. Hey, Jeannie. Let's remind everyone who you are and how you're connected to Mito Action.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jeannie Freeman, like Stephanie said. I started working at Mito Action back in the summer, I think, of 2017. So I started as a volunteer then and then kind of morphed into a more permanent role at the beginning of January of 2018.
What part of Mito Action are you in charge of?
Well, I was initially hired to do the finances, and that's again kind of morphed into finance and operations, some social media, email marketing.
Jeannie is the person who's behind all of the curtains here at Mito Action. Everything that you see published or in your inbox or on the website or in social media, that's Jeannie. So big thank you to Jeannie for all of the hats that she wears. And today she's going to wear a Santa hat. And we're going to talk about one of our favorite programs, Mito Santas. Jeannie's been involved in helping with Mito Santas, I think, probably since you started. She knows all the ins and outs about this wonderful program. So first of all, let's go with, how did Mito Santa start? What's its history?
Well, first, I think my Santa hat is definitely one of my favorite hats that I wear at Mito Action. So Mito Santas was actually formed without any connection to Mito Action initially. So it started in Western New York in 2009. A group of moms and adults were sitting around at a support group meeting, and some of the parents were talking about the struggles that they had at Christmas time and how hard it was going to be to buy presents and what were they going to do. You know, they wanted to make sure their kids had a fun Christmas morning, but how are they going to fund it, right? With all of the, you know, hospital bills and medical bills and just other things that pile up with Mito kids, how are we going to make this work? So it kind of lit a fire under the other parents in the room. And I think somebody said, I could donate some money to help you get some Christmas presents. And someone else said, oh, I could do the same. And someone else said, I could do the same. And it was just, it kind of a spiral effect. And so that year, and I think the subsequent number of years after that was just local families in Western New York just supporting each other. It's so cool how they came together to make sure those kids had, you know, an awesome holiday.
Wow. I did not know that it was literally just a group of parents who were just basically crowdfunding.
Pretty much. That's exactly what they were doing. And so the program continued to grow. And then, you know, the word got out about what they were doing. And I think at that point, somewhere along that point, they came to Mito Action and said, hey, you know, we want to be bigger. Can you help us be bigger? And so now, fast forward, you know, all these years later, we've branched outside of Western New York. And I think, I want to say last year, the year before, we had kids all the way in Alaska.
That's amazing. That is branching out of Western New York.
Just a little bit.
How many kids are in the program right now?
That's a great question. So the program is for kids affected by mitochondrial disease directly. So those kids are 18 and under. And then siblings of those kids can also be part of the program, which is really cool. You know, just because the kid doesn't have mitochondrial disease doesn't mean that their family is not impacted by it. So we also support the siblings. The siblings are 16 and under rather than 18. But last year we had over 100 kids. It was actually closer to 115, maybe. The reach, you know, has come so far outside of what it started as with just those local families. And I think a fun fact is that some of those initial kids are still involved in the program.
Because families can apply annually, or how are they still part of the program?
Yes, so families can apply annually. Since the program has been a part of Mito Action, I'm not for sure how it worked before. But since Mito Action has been involved each year, we put together an application asking all kinds of questions about your child. You know, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite character? What's your favorite sports team? Do you have any favorite snacks? You know, what size shirt, what size pants, what size shoes, all of those things, including what's the number one gift that your child wants? And then even past that, what are some other, you know, fun things? What are your child's, you know, direct interests? So they like Legos, but do they like, I don't know, Mickey Mouse Legos, or do they like the, you know, Lego Friends, or, you know, just specific questions so we know the best way to surprise your kid on Christmas.
You really get the Santa wish list there. So you just get all the behind the scenes nitty gritty, just as if you were peering in as Santa would, right? Looking in to see what they need or want that year for Christmas. Is the application the same for siblings as it is for the Mito child?
It is. It is. It asks the same questions. The siblings are treated just the same as the child affected. So the only difference in the application is just the siblings need to be 16 or under, rather than 18. And the reason behind that is just so we can help more kids affected by Mito.
No, I like that. So, and where can our listeners find the application to be part of Mito Santas?
So they can find the application in a couple of places. There is a link in our Instagram bio. So you can go there if you're an Instagram person, or you can visit our website at mitoaction.org/Mito-Santas with an S. And once you get to the website page, you'll see there's two buttons, button for apply and a button to make a donation.
Perfect timing. So I was going to ask, everybody's probably wondering, so how is this all funded? Reaching 100 households with gifts of all sorts of shapes and sizes. How is this funded?
So there are a number of ways that we've funded the program in the past. Every year, Jennifer, who is, I guess she's our main elf, or even maybe our Santa, I don't know. She fills out multiple grant requests, you know, ranging anywhere. We've had Aldi's be a sponsor. Wegmans, I know, is big, I think, on the West or the East Coast, I'm sorry. They've sponsored. So she spends a lot of time writing grant letters, trying to get corporate sponsors. And since the program started back in 2009, there's been a sponsor who chooses to remain anonymous, but he's very generous with his donations. And I think that's been, that was a big chunk of what drove the program initially, was our anonymous Santa. He's, you know, doesn't want any recognition, doesn't want, you know, anything, just wants to fulfill the Mito Santa's mission of bringing smiles to kids on Christmas morning. So the other ways that the program is funded is through donations. So last year, we did a virtual basket raffle, which was really cool. This year, this past weekend, we did a walk in Western New York, and all of the proceeds from that walk funded Mito Santas. And then donations, we have, there's one donor that makes a recurring monthly donation every month. And there are quite a few ways to donate and get involved.
Wow. What if somebody wants to become an elf? How does one become an elf? I'm curious about this.
So that's a great question. So being an elf is one of the most important part of the programs for us. As a small staff, we can always use extra help trying to field these requests and, you know, make sure that these kids get their presents by Christmas. Families have a deadline of November 15th to turn in their Mito Santa wish list. We chose the date of November 15th so we can utilize the deals that are always available on Black Friday and Cyber Monday. So once the families turn in their application, we'll compile the list, all of the applications together, and see what we need. And becoming an elf is where people, we can utilize volunteers to help us shop. So we're a small team, and, you know, having to shop for over 100 kids can take some time. We really try hard to fulfill, you know, their biggest Christmas wishes, and sometimes that's not always easy. A few years ago, a child asked for maybe a boombox or a CD player or something, which those are not easy to come by anymore. We're like, okay, how are we going to do this? And we found it. I think, you know, Jennifer, like I said, she really tries hard to make sure that we get exactly what's on the wish list, at the top of the wish list. So anybody that wants to volunteer to be an elf, we would send you one of the applications, or, you know, if it's multiple kids in a family, or, you know, whatever you wanted. If you, you know, wanted to shop for a girl or you wanted to shop for a boy, you tell us the age range and we would send you their wish list. And either you would shop locally. We've had families that volunteer that want to shop locally that'll actually deliver the presents to the people's houses. Or we do shopping at, you know, Walmart, Target, Amazon, you know, and you could just sit and do the shopping and arrange the cart, confirm it with the parents, and then hit send.
Wow. And then we just send directly to the kids?
We send directly to the families, yep. So for the families that are in New York, where the bulk of our volunteers are, they'll wrap the gifts and then they'll hand deliver them. I know for me here in Michigan, there was a family that's probably an hour from me. And I think last year I would have delivered the gifts myself, but in a COVID world, I wasn't sure, you know, what people thought about that. So I just had them sent via the mail. But there's kids in so many states. So I think we look for volunteers no matter where you are. There's definitely an elf job that could be done.
Wow, I like that because I would like to be an elf this year. I think I've leveled up on my skills and definitely am a pretty good cyber shopper. So I will definitely be on the lookout for some applications to do some shopping and maybe even some personal deliveries. I didn't know that was an option. So thanks for cluing me in on that one. That sounds like a lot of fun. Other than the boombox, has there been anything else that was like really fun to shop for or kind of surprising? Like, oh my gosh, how are we going to pull this off?
2 years ago, there was a little girl who requested an American Girl doll. And the budget for the wish list is about $50 per child. So if anybody knows anything about American Girl dolls, you definitely know that $50 is way out of the price range. But we're like, where there's a will, there's a way. You know, we've got to be able to, this is the only thing this little girl wants. You know, how are we going to get it for? So oddly, I think it was kind of one of those Christmas miracles. We found a deal that we couldn't pass up on American Girl dolls, making them each less than $50 a piece, which was amazing. And we were able to get her American Girl doll. It happened to be that she had a hearing aid. And, you know, the mom contacted us and said, realize that you could customize these dolls. You can get them braces, you can get them hearing aids, you can get them all kinds of different things. And she said, what are the chances that you could get a hearing aid for her doll? So, you know, it would be like her. And we were actually able to do that too. So it was just a really fun, you know, really cool thing for her. So she got the doll. The doll had the hearing aids. She got some clothes for the doll. The year after that, we had a woman who hand makes American Girl doll clothes. And she very generously donated hundreds of dollars worth of clothes to us that we were able to send out to the kids that had gotten the dolls the prior year. So people are just, the Christmas spirit really does shine through when you get into this, because I think people see the need in the big picture and, you know, they want to help, and it's so cool.
It is cool. I just love it how people come together. I mean, for somebody to take the time to hand sew these clothes and then hand them out just blindly to little girls, knowing that their hearts are going to be so excited to have these for their dollies. I think that's, I love that. I love that part of the story.
It's so amazing.
It is.
You know, one of the questions on the application says, you know, what are your favorite treats? So I think people maybe didn't realize when we asked that question that we were looking for items that could be mailed. So we've had people say things like pizza, mashed potatoes, you know, things that definitely can't go in the mail. So obviously we're not mailing any mashed potatoes, but those are some other funny stories.
Yeah, that would be quite messy. That's interesting. I always love how random people are in these applications. When we're designing things like this, we feel like things are very self-explanatory and our logical brains go, oh yeah, the answer to this would be Kit Kats or Snickers. And then you put it out into the world and it comes back with deviations you never thought possible because everybody is so different. And that's I guess what I love the most about this is just seeing how people respond and knowing, just even without seeing their faces, just knowing when those boxes arrive as a parent, just how grateful they must feel. And as a kid, how exciting that must be to get a delivery from Santa. That's pretty cool.
The parents are always, after the fact, very willing to share photos and the smiles that you see. You know, the kids will be holding up their presents and, you know, have their stuff in front of them. And sometimes we'll even do like stockings and just, you know, little odds and ends. The smiles are just, you know, they speak volumes. Like, how do you not want to help those kids?
Right, exactly. And it's just a nice way to stay within your community, even if it's not your local physical community, but your medical community or your rare disease family community. I know so many of us have developed social media communities now, especially thanks to COVID, that I think this is a great opportunity for people to be able to physically impact your social media families. Now, Mito Santas, they're on Facebook, correct?
Mito Santas are on Facebook. I just was going to say that. You can find them on Facebook. Just search for Mito Santas. It's two words, Mito space Santas. And you can find them there. The kids will share. It's a good place to see some of the photos of their smiling faces too.
Yeah, I always like to peruse and check it out. And like you said, some of the kids have been in the program for a while. And so just watching them progress and do better and have greater lives and just to see the continuous joy that this program brings and the generosity, it overwhelms me every year when we get ready to talk about Mito Santas. I'm always like, I can't believe we get to do this again. This is so awesome. I'm looking forward to being a shopper this year. So
it does, me too.
Yeah.
We're definitely looking forward to having the extra help.
Yeah. So remember, if you want to become an elf, how do they contact us? Just go out to info@MitoAction and send us an email or?
Yep. They can send us an email. They can connect with us via live chat on the website and let us know. They could message the Mito Santas Facebook page and let us know there too. And then we'll start the shopping probably at the end of November, hoping to have it done, you know, in the middle of December. Sometimes we are last minute. So I guess I should mention that too. Applications technically close on November 15th. If you haven't gotten your application in by November 15th, don't fret. You can still contact us after. We do take some after the fact. We just try to get the majority of them in before then so we can cash in on those holiday shopping deals that are going on.
This is a lot to organize, 100 different families all across the country. And who knows with mail and package delivery this year, if things are going to be on time. So I'm assuming we're going to try to get things out before. What is the deadline usually? December 18th is like they say the last possible day to mail something to be on time for Christmas. I think that would be good.
Yeah, we want to make sure that things aren't late. I think last year, even with COVID and the bad shipping, we only had a couple packages that didn't arrive by Christmas. So that was exciting. The ones that didn't arrive by Christmas did arrive shortly thereafter.
Sure. And you know what? That's just the way the world is right now. We just aren't on that predictable timetable yet, or back to it yet. So I think that's acceptable. And you know what? As I always say, Mito Action is small but mighty. And Jeannie gets it done. Let me tell you, she will get this done. So again, if you want to be part of the Mito Santas program, whether you want to have a child participate in it or you want to be an elf, you can go out to mitoaction.org and can they just search on Mito Santas?
They sure can. Yep. You'll find the webpage.
The applications will come right up and drop us an email or a message somewhere, either on the live chat on our website, or you can always go to info@mitoaction.org for an email that will come to us to say, hey, I want to be an elf. Let me know how I can help. We'll always, always gladly take anybody's help to get this program, to keep this program moving, I should say.
Absolutely. Same with donations. No donation is too big or too small. Anything that people are able to give helps to keep the program running. You know, the spending limit is $50 per child, but $50 does not have to be the minimum donation. Any little bit helps. And the more donations we're able to get, the more kids we're able to help.
Yeah, that's a good point. And we don't ever want to turn anybody away. So yeah, any donation amount would be greatly appreciated. Jeannie said we do have a tight budget, but somehow Jeannie manages to get everybody's wish list done every year. So this is pretty exciting.
That's right. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Well, thanks, Jeannie, for coming on the podcast today. I appreciated you telling everybody about Mito Santas and how they can participate.
Thanks so much for having me.
I look forward to chatting with you again real soon. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode of Energy in Action. I am now officially in the mood for Christmas, and I am looking forward to reading those wish lists of our Mito kids. Remember, you can go over to our website at mitoaction.org to learn more about this generous program, or you can just drop me an email at info@mitoaction.org. Also, if there is something you want to learn about, know more about, just let me know. I want to bring you the content that is most meaningful and helpful.
And last, remember to give us a 5-star rating on your listening app. It really does help boost us up the charts, and it does make a difference on the level of people that we can reach. This is your host, Stephanie, Rare Mom Extraordinaire. Until next time.